Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Cardi Gang, put it up, fam.
Yeah.
Three strikes, baby.
Yeah.
Speak down. You ain't new. I can't pause this. Stand up. Stand up. The beans on city. Can't pause this. Stand up. Stand up. The beans on city. Pause this. Stand up. Stand up. The beans on city. Can't pause this. Stand up. Stand up. The beans on city. One time, say the name. One time, where we at? Bring it back home with the Celtics, the Bees, and the Patriots. Red Sox swinging, we beat them slugging. Aerosmith rocking out the big North Garden. Y'all don't want Pepsi, y'all want Gaudi. C-Top, 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 Roddy. I'm the only rapper alive, bring metal like this. My life goes a five, start a riot like this. From South down to Southie, Roxbury, Metapan, Dorchester, Somerville, Winter Hill, J.B., E.C., Nancy. Y'all want Gaudi, Rolling, stand up, suburbs, Lowell, Lawrence, this, that, murder, three strikes, man, y'all know what it means, y'all don't get it, y'all ain't from the beans. Pause this, stand up, the beans, your city, man, pause this, stand up, the beans, your city.
Well, good evening, hello everyone, how's it going? This is your ordinary woman checking in, and I think there's someone else in here. Where are you?
Ed Mountain Man is here as well. Hello, everybody. Good to be back this week.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm looking over here at the chat room, and I'm real excited. We're like packed. Hello, everyone. Mountain Man, who do you see up in there that you can give a shout-out to?
I see Betty. Bob, guess 22276, infamous angel 978, James 13, JJ, Martha, Mary, Robert, Rosemary. Good to have you all in our chat room.
Yeah, everybody's in here. Welcome, guys. It's been a heck of a week. We just got snowed like nobody's business this past week with the snow and the rain. We got like a foot last week, and then we got another 4 to 6 inches this week. It's just Mother Nature's just pounding on us. She's like, I don't know, I think we're like her favorite children this winter when it comes to dumping snow on us. But we can't complain. It's very pretty.
And we aren't done yet either.
Are you serious? What's going on?
We've got another few inches coming in later tonight and to tomorrow.
Oh, my God. That's awful. So, we have a really great show for you guys today. I'm really excited. We're going to have Tim Anders is going to be calling in a little while, and he's an amazing person. He's an actor and an entrepreneur. He just recently started a bakery, but his bakery business is a little different than what you would think of when we talk about bakeries. He does the whole healthy, holistic approach, but he's gotten a really great way of doing it because, you know, you got to admit it, when we think healthy, we're like, you know, you think like it's not going to be that good, but his stuff is, like the kids would say, the bomb. It is so good. I had the pleasure of tasting some of his chocolate truffles. Oh, my God, they did not taste like anything that was healthy or it just tasted yum, 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 yum. Hey, we have more guests. Guest 22276, 22617. Hey, what's up, 22631? Winner, we got Martha Mary Johnson. Hi, welcome. Glad to have you in the room. Infamous Angel Girl, so nice that you're here. Martha, Mary, and everyone else is here. Bob, Betty. Wow, I feel special. We have a full guest. A full bunch of guests in our chat room. I can't even talk today. It's been that kind of day. I have to share something real quick. Do you remember at the beginning of the year, I talked about this new great song that had been produced by the famous Jenna Donovan that we love so much. And scrolling.
Here. I think I played a little bit about... I think I played a little bit of it.
Yes, so this song, it's called Change, and it was done in honor of Veneer. It was done by Sacrifice Fitchu and Jenna Donovan, and it's a really cool story. It's one of these where they kind of had an idea. They wanted to get together and do a song. They hadn't been able to, and for those of you who know, it's pretty tricky trying to get into the lab, or the studio, lab as the kids call it. Surefire Studios in the great city of Lowell, woo-hoo, shout out to Lowell, has a great reputation, and they're very busy. So trying to get in there is kind of tough because they have state-of-the-art equipment and everything. So they were able to get in there. So it was a matter of, okay, let's find a beat, which is the tracks to it. And they literally wrote this song in the studio in 20 minutes. And from the time they heard the instrumentals to the time they recorded it. And I wanted to debut it at the beginning of the year. Didn't have the chance to. So here it goes. For your listening pleasure, before we get started, we have Change by Sacrifice Fitchu and Jenna Donovan.
Trying to do the best I could, doing all the things that they say I should. But I'm in the same old place, looking for a new life, searching for a change.
I never liked, so I quickly made it, exit my best as I'm changing flights. I made it bright, my sights an amazing light. So I try to be my finest, my highest, I made it right. I made changes, a stranger to giving life. But a wife and some children can build it and make it right. I'm making nice, two lives, I'm living twice. Once was long ago, the other is really nice. I'm searching for a new life, searching for a change. Working like a servant for these merchants for a chain. Searching for a purpose for my service in the game. Now I circuit for my purpose, never nervous when I blaze. I get it working for my word and for my pain. My verbiage keep me surging when I turn it into gain. I'm never turning, only learning when I aim. So I serve it with a purpose, Mr. Perfect, make it rain.
Trying to do the best I could, doing all the things that they say I should. But I'm in the same old place, looking for a new life, searching for a change.
My back to the game, walked away cause I maxed out. Went to college road, met some dames and blew they back out. School didn't help, I stayed the same, I had to lash out. Teachers telling me, keep it moving, dog, this ain't for you. My fam waiting to see if the things I say come true. But truthfully in my heart, your boy just stayed confused. So Brady dropped the beat, now everybody changed their view. But there's no room on this bandwagon, your man's jamming. Less than a quarter mil, I can't have it, I can't stand it. Stay away, I can't manage. This shit bleeds through my veins like guitars from Van Halen. I can't relax, I'm about to put mass back on the map. If you ask some gas, these new rappers is trash. And I ain't saying I'm the best to do it, I'm just saying that my heart's invested in this music. Made it through the pain. Angels with the halos never waver when I strain. I was trained to never falter, always braver on the range. Overcoming obstacles, hurdling the next. Change of life a crime, using words to be the best. Burdened by my courage in the verses that I bless. So it's still a life of crime because I'm murdering this text. Always keep my head up, never looking to the ground. Always looking for a new look, always booking to the sound. Music made me do it, always push it to the clouds. Or the ground that kept me grounded when I pounded on the ground. Leave a vision you never saw. Where a life that you live in is bigger and never flawed. The big picture depicted and made us hard. So Jenna, bring us heaven when you singing for the stars.
Trying to do the best I could, doing all the things that they say I should. But I'm in the same old place, looking for a new life, searching for a change.
Wow. That's all I got to say. Wow. When I say goose pimples, goosebumps, whatever you want to call them, that's what I got when I heard that song, especially knowing how quickly they put it together, and that's when you know inspiration has hit, and it was just amazing. Andy, welcome to the chat room. Andy's in the building. Andy's in the building. Hey, Andy, what's going on? Infamous Angel, I agree with you. That song is definitely fire. Mountain Man, I think we have someone in the switchboard waiting.
I think we do too, but yeah. We haven't really done our housekeeping yet.
No, we haven't. We have not. So don't you handle? You want to handle that, or I want to handle it, and our caller can just. Actually, we got. I'm pretty sure that's Tim on hold. So Tim, if you can hear me, just hold on a few seconds, and we got some housekeeping to do. We've been slacking. We've been talking with our guests. Mountain Man, what you got for me?
Well, one part of our housekeeping is our call-in numbers, which is 1-347-989-1473. Mm-hmm. Or for people who are trying to call us in, it's a toll call for them. They can call us at 1-877-907-7217.
Wow, again. Aren't we fancy? We have an 800 number. I feel so professional now.
Or you can get a hold of us through our website.
www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinary woman. You can go on there and you can listen to the show. Now, you do not have to stay on that page. You can click into the chat room. Minimize that so you can just see a little bit of the chat room, and you can minimize us. You can still listen to us while you're doing whatever you're doing. Andy, while you're typing away, because I know you're writing that awesome book that's going to be on the New York Times bestsellers list. But, yeah, so you can listen to us that way. Or if you actually call into the 347 number and do not want to talk to us, if you're up on the road, you can actually listen to us that way. And if you don't want to tie up your phone that way, or use up your minutes. You can also go, if you have a smartphone, you can go on the mobile version. We're so fancy here. On the mobile version of Blog Talk Radio, type in Ordinary Woman under the search and hit that, and you can actually listen to us that way. The other way that you can listen to us is if you don't want to actually be in the chat room or don't want to be tied up that way. If you go to our webpage on Blog Talk Radio and you hit listen now, you don't have to download it. You don't have to sit there and wait to download it. It will take you to iTunes. So if you have iTunes on your computer, you can listen to us that way. And it takes a split second for it to go into your iTunes file. You can listen to us that way as well. Don't have time to listen to us live, then you're more than welcome to come back to our webpage and listen to us later, download us, and catch up on some of the past episodes, that segments that you haven't listened to. So that is the housekeeping. Oh, Mountain Man. I have
got a full
today,
house.
The question is mine. Yes, we do. The question today is mine. Now, for some of you that have listened to us regularly, we have been starting these silly contests that if you guess the answer to the question, we will give you a 15-minute segment. Come on board and be a co-host with us, which means you can decide if you want to have a guest. You can decide if you want to do music. You can decide if you just want to sit there and ramble on for 15 minutes. As long as you're not swearing, we're cool with it. So the question this week, this is going to be so hard. The question this week, we did a Mountain Man's favorite food. We did Mountain Man, what was the other one? Mountain Man's favorite TV show.
Yeah, and nobody has guessed it.
No one guessed it? No one guessed your favorite show?
Nobody's guessed it. So that will be the other question in tonight's show as well.
And we should keep that one. I'm going to save mine because mine is, like, wicked hard. Yes, I'm from Boston.
No, we're
going to
do two tonight.
Hard.
We are going to do two tonight.
Okay, we'll
do mine.
Tonight. See, the whole thing is we're trying to get out of working. So we figure we have other people hosting our show. That's how we get out of it. But it's really a contest. Okay. Yeah. So this is the deal. For mine, because it's really hard, whoever guesses it, not only will they get the 15-minute segment on our show, but I will give them a copy of 10 of the songs that we have on our rotation. We will make a copy of the CD. You will get it, and we will get a couple of the artists to send you autographed pictures of that, because I think that'll be kind of cool, because they really, really want to share their music. So that'll be the deal. Got that? So if you can guess the answer to my question, and the answer to my question is going to be really hard. What is my favorite song? I mentioned it once, just once, on a show in the last year since we've been on the air. So I don't think anybody's going to get it. But so you'd have to figure out who my favorite artist is or who does the song and my favorite artist. And as the show goes on, I will give you a couple of hints. But the answer, I mean, the question I'm giving out today is, what is my ordinary woman's favorite song, her favorite song? Okay. With that, man, take it away. Who's our guest in the chat room? It must be our guest that we've been waiting for.
Well, we've got two here, so I'm going to guess
take
it's
the
our
first
one.
Nope. 802. I know who 781 is, but hit it up with 802.
Okay. Here comes 802. Good evening.
Hey, welcome to the Ordinary Diamond in the Rough Show. What's up? Who is this?
Hey, Charlie, it's Tim.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm
so
well.
Excited to get you on my show. How's it going?
Oh, things are going really well. I'm really excited to be here with you, you know, on the phone, talking with you on the radio. I'm really excited.
Oh, it is. It's such a treat. Now, see, our show, we try to have a wide variety of guests. And just because, you know, at the beginning, I kind of went to my circle. We had a lot of actors and writers and singers and that kind of thing. But, Tim, you encompass a lot of that, but on top of that, you have something different. So I really want to hit on that first. So let me ask you real quick. Tim, you used to work as a security officer, and then what happened?
To be honest with you, I really don't know. I went to work one night, and there's another officer in my place, and I called up my company. They said, just take the night off. We'll pay you. I said, okay.
Mm-hmm.
They said, you know, let's have a meeting. We need to talk about something. I said, okay, not a problem. The next day, I had the meeting, and they just said, well, you know, the hospital asked us to remove you from the premises without any explanation. And then my company said, well, we have no work for you, so you're laid off. And to this day, I still have no clue why I was laid off. So, you know, I've been out since November 9th.
Wow.
It's funny because I've worked in the security field. Actually, that's kind of like what I do in between things as a contractor, and I'm more on the management side. So I hate to say it. It's so cruel. And the thing is, they don't feel that they need to explain this to you. And a lot of companies, luckily my company is not that bad, but mm-hmm. the companies that I've worked with, they really don't want to get into the whole confrontation or, you know, explaining things, and they will do it like that. They will do it where you will have someone that has been with this company for years, and one day you got a job, and the next day you don't. And trying to get an explanation, good luck with that one, because it's very difficult to do that. Now, Tim, I know that a lot of people in that situation would have been devastated. Now, you're married, right?
Yeah, I'm married. I have three kids, with my youngest one being only 4 months old.
Right. So you were in a situation where you're the primary breadwinner, and I'm assuming at this time your wife was pregnant with your third child.
Yes.
So devastating, to say the least. So what were some of the things that went through your mind, and what actually set you on the course of action that you took?
Well, I was really shocked at first because I was with the company for 3 years without any complaints. No, nothing at all, no write-ups, no being talked to, nothing. And all of a sudden, bam, you know, out of the blue, it hit me right upside the head. So it was a huge shock. I didn't know what to do. I was, you know, my wife and I were just sitting down trying to discuss, what are we supposed to do? You know, what direction do we take now? And I was calling my company that I was working for, you know, three times a day at least, asking why is this happening? You know, what
mm-hmm.
went wrong? I said, forget it, you know, just move on. And he said, you know, just go find another job. We'll put in a good recommendation for you. I said, okay. Well, we just, you know, I've been putting in application after application, probably pretty close to 100 to 200 applications now, at least. And I haven't had anything, no bites at all.
Now, Tim, I got to tell you right there, it's true, because people, we get lulled into believing that things aren't as bad as they are, but they're pretty tough, because what we don't realize is that there's been so many jobs lost that it's tough out there. I mean, the kids between, you know, the young kids between 16 and 25, they're getting squeezed out by the people that are 50 and older, because those are the people that they don't have kids, so they don't have to call in sick when their kids get sick. They have all this life experience. They have all this stuff to offer, but they're willing to take jobs for minimal money because they're desperate. They need these jobs. Where now these companies can choose and pick, so they don't have to take someone with kids or, you know, whatever, and don't have to pay you as much. So it's very tough out there. Now, how were you able to maintain, to keep upbeat about it, to not get so, because you hear the horror stories, you know, people wind up where they lose everything, they wind up taking it out on each other, they wind up divorced, all these horror stories that happen when something like this hits you. What do you think it was that set you on the course to say, okay, what are we going to do and come up with what you guys came up with?
Well, you know, my wife and I have a very strong relationship, you know. We do have, marital problems like everyone else, but we do our best to work them out. And my wife has a very level head on her shoulders. And she comes up with some really good ideas and some suggestions, and we talk about it. And, you know, we just decided that, you know, let's just go for unemployment at this time. So that's what we're doing. And then she and I decided that, you know, hey, let's start a business. And she's like, well, let's start this type of business. And I used to, you know, do it 11 years ago in my hometown in Hope, New Hampshire. But my wife, she stays more calm than I do in, like, desperate situations like this. I don't go out of control, like panicky type deal. Just more or less, I get a lot on my plate. My mind gets a little foggy at times, and I think of so much at once that I'll think of one thing, and I'll jump to another, and I'll jump to another. And versus my wife, she's more like, well, let's just focus on this. Let's do you know, work on one thing at a time instead of, you know, 5, 6 different things all at once and get frustrated and flustered and just throw it down with, you know, just fall on our faces and just get all frustrated.
Well, that's true, Tim, because that can happen. I mean, it can be overwhelming where all of a sudden, okay, you're the primary bread earner, you have 2 kids, you have a third one on the way, you're quote-unquote the man. So it can be very easy to get into that, oh my gosh, I got to pay the mortgage, what am I going to do, the kids, the wife and all that, and get into that. So you guys were able to have a balance in that relationship, which is great. How did you come up with the idea of this particular business? And could you explain to our listeners what kind of business you guys decided on and some of the things that you're doing?
Oh, sure, definitely. I've always enjoyed baking. It's something that I've done that I just adapted to really quickly. My mother taught me when I was 4 years of age of how to bake, and ever since then I just fell in love with it. It's something I've always enjoyed doing. Like I said previously, I used to have my own business called TJ's Country Kitchen over in Hillsborough, New Hampshire, back in 98 and 99. And we lost it to a fire, and I had,
oh my goodness,
I'd probably say $3,000 to $5,000 worth of equipment in the house. No insurance. I was doing really well. I was, you know, Hillsborough's the dead center of 3-4 different colleges. So I was really making a lot of money doing this my first year.
Right.
And, you know, I believe it was January 1st of 99, my parents' house burnt down and I lost all my equipment. I had nothing. So I just kind of said, you know, well, the heck with it. I'm not going to do it again.
Right.
And 11 years later, 12 years later, you know, after I lost my job, my wife said, hey, let's start a bakery. And I said, well, yeah, I guess we could try. And I said, let's do a normal bakery. And she was like, well, no, let's do something different. She goes, you know, there's always a bakery that always has this and this. She goes, let's be unique. Let's do something different. And I said, well, what do you have in mind? And she said, well, let's do an almond bakery. I said, no. I said, people aren't going to like that. That's not going to, You know, it's not going to be good.
Okay, Tim, let me stop you right there for a second. Yeah. When you say an almond bakery, what do you mean by that for people that might not know what your guys are talking about?
An almond bakery is the products that we use is almond-based. We take the almond, we grind it up into a flour, and that's, mm-hmm. that's the base of it. Instead of using a regular flour substance, which has all the gluten, which, you know, isn't all that healthy for the body, our product is a gluten-free bakery.
Mm-hmm.
So we take the almond flour, we grind it up into fine texture, you know, which turns into a flour type. And that's what we use along with, you know, all the other stuff. You know, we don't use sugar. We use agave, which is an organic sweetener, which is a very, it's a lot healthier for you than most of the other sweeteners out there.
Okay, now.
Go ahead.
So your wife came up with this idea about the almond bakery. Now, you had to have had some background in this, or your wife had to, for you to do that. Where did you guys get the knowledge, and how did you guys come in to know about this particular kind of product?
Well, we started talking, well, my wife started doing a lot of research on health things. A friend of mine first introduced to me about doing a diet of a no flour, no sugar. And so my wife and I wanted to try it. We lost a ton of weight doing it, but we were limited to what we could eat. So she started doing a lot of research, and then she found a gentleman named Mark Sisson, who owns Mark Daly's Apple, and he is a worldwide known nutritionist. The guy is amazingly knowledgeable. He has won so many debates with some very wide, very well-known doctors. And we started talking to him, and he told us about almonds and the benefits that almonds have. So we started doing a lot of research on it, and that's when we started doing, you know, looking on different websites for ingredients for almonds. And the first ingredient that we came up with was the chocolate chip cookie. And it only has six ingredients versus eight or nine with the regular almond bakery. And this is so much more moist and chewy and crunchy on the outside, chewy on the inside. It's a perfect cookie, in my opinion. And it's I have hiccups here.
Okay, so real quick. So that's good. You came up with this product, and you're talking about a chocolate chip cookie. Now, I have to stop you right there, because every time we hear chocolate chip cookies, we're thinking eggs, we're thinking butter, we're thinking chocolate, tons of sugar, all this stuff in there. So it's not something we would think of as healthy in any way. So you guys came up with this recipe that totally changes it. So I'm going to be the devil's advocate here and say, how does it taste? Because I know you're describing it, but does it even come close to what a chocolate chip cookie is supposed to taste like?
It's, in my opinion, it tastes better. There's no eggs in it. You know, the only ingredients in this are the almond flour, the vanilla, butter, salt, baking soda, and chocolate chips. And that's it. And because the almond flour is so ground up, it brings the batter into a really nice batter. And when it bakes, it bakes perfectly all the way around. And it tastes so much like I'd have to say like a Nestle chocolate chip cookie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have wowed so many people already. I mean, you know, we had a meet and greet a few weeks ago in Springfield, Vermont. People came down who were questioning us, well, how's it taste? Like, well, try it for yourself. And the expression on their face, and they were just like, this is an almond cookie, what's in it? And we tell them, they couldn't believe it. And we, you know, the cookie's becoming one of the most popular items we have.
Right. So, okay, now we're talking about the climate of the economy. You lost your job, you got laid off. Not exactly the kind of climate that people are thinking about starting a business in, because, you know, everybody's leery. And so how did you guys, you got the idea, you started experimenting with these recipes. So how did you guys start to be able to get your product out there for people to be familiar with it?
When my wife first came up with the idea of doing this, I went ahead and baked up some cookies, some brownies, some whoopie pies, and I sat out in a empty parking lot for 3 days with a large chalkboard saying free baked goods. And out of the entire 3 days and about 4 hours of each day, so about 12 hours total, I got 4 people to stop in. And that's
awesome. Well, see, that's see, that's funny. That's the old antics that if you give people something free, it's too good to be true, like what's wrong with it kind of thing. So that was your idea to get people to taste your products, and you didn't feel very successful then. So what did you guys do next to be able to get the word out there?
Well, the next thing we did is we did talk to the Chamber of Commerce in our town here in Springfield, Vermont. And she started helping us out, and she asked me if she could try some of the products. So, you know, people did ask, she could tell what it was. So I gave her a brownie, and she absolutely signed for it. She loved it. And so she got in contact with a lot of the you know, higher ups in the state that would, you know, help me get my business going. So then I started going around to different areas, just giving out my products to people, saying, hey, you know, try this out, see what you think. I would always warn them that, you know, it is almonds, so if you're allergic to any type of nuts, you know, just be cautious.
Right.
And then, a few weeks later, I got asked to do almost a full-page article in the Eagle Times, which is a huge newspaper here in the New England area.
Right.
It just word of mouth just kept on spreading and spreading, and now, you know, we've gotten big enough to the point where we're trying to get to a storefront now.
That's amazing, because you're talking about the fact, and see, this is why I had to have Tim on our show. For those of you guys listening, you sit there and you go, okay, this guy got laid off in November. We're talking 2010. We're not talking 3 years ago, 5 years ago. We're talking literally a few months ago. And 2 kids, another one on the way, all these responsibilities, put your head together, and you came up with something that literally, like you said, has just taken off, where you guys are literally looking for a storefront right now. So that's one of the things that I love about sharing this story, because it goes to show that if, yeah, it's okay to panic for a few minutes, but we need to get out of that panic mode, get out of that negativity, and dig deep down inside, because we do have talents, we do have abilities that maybe we haven't used in a while, maybe we hadn't thought we had. Some of them we haven't even discovered yet because we haven't used them. But if we start asking questions that we want answers to, and that's something my husband always tells me, ask the right questions, you're going to get the right answers. If you ask yourself questions like, oh, my God, I'm going to lose my house. Where am I going to go live? Wrong question. If you ask yourself something like Tim and his wife said, okay, this happened. Now what are we going to do so that we can continue to have the things we have and maybe better ourselves? So your story is just so inspiring to me because, like you said, in a matter of a few months, you are, and I know because I've worked in the business community and know that for some people it takes them years to get to where you guys are. Now, do you think that has something to do because of the fact that you were thinking outside the box?
I definitely have to agree with that, that, you know, we were thinking outside the box. I do have to say what really helped us is that, you know, we're the only bakery in town now. There hasn't been one in Springfield.
That helps. That helps a lot. But to stop you real quick, Tim, just because you're the only bakery, if you're not good, I ain't buying.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You know, that's the whole thing. So you guys, not only do you have a niche by being the only bakery, and you offer, and like Andy said, Andy says, I don't like to eat things that I can't pronounce the ingredients that are in it. So you're offering something that's healthier, more natural, some organic ingredients, natural ingredients, and it tastes good. So on top of that, the fact that you are the only bakery, you're obviously serving a product that people keep coming back for. So what are some of the things that you've done on top of, okay, you talked to people, the ad was in the paper, you know, the story was in the paper. What suggestions do you have for people out there that might be thinking about starting a business or might be willing to, they're thinking about, okay, let me take the plunge. Let me learn how to be my own boss.
Well, first thing I definitely have to say is, you know, you know, if you are married or if you have a family member that's, you know, that's going to go on with you, whatever, you know, sit down and definitely discuss your plans before you jump in. I've done that so many times and I failed. This time I really just sat down and we discussed things before we even took the first step. So my, you know, my advice is sit down, talk about it, make up a plan, write up a business and how you want to do it. And then don't be afraid to go to, if you have a chamber of commerce in your town or even go to the town, go to them and just, you know, write up a little business proposal saying, this is what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Stay positive. A lot of people are going to talk you out of it. You know, oh, that's not going to happen. Oh, you don't want to do this. It's going to be too much time. Don't listen to it. This is what you want to do. You know, if for 1 second you even have a doubt in it, you know, don't do it because you are going to fail. You got to stay positive with this thing the whole time. I had doubt in it in the beginning when my wife mentioned it. But then when she said, let's try it, I said, fine. You know what? I didn't have any doubt in it at all until we started, you know, and when we first started, all the doubt I had just went out the window. And I said, you know, we're going to do this. We're going to stay positive. And that's what's been happening. And just things have been rolling in. So definitely.
You know, it's very true because, Tim, to stop you right there for a sec, you said something that was very deep, and I really don't want to skim over it because I think it's so important. You said that you have to make sure that you don't listen to the negativity or whatever other people are saying. And it reminds me of this past weekend, the Golden Globes were on television, and they had these little commercials of unknown actors that were coming in for auditions or whatever. And this one actress said something that really hit me. She said, I would rather fail doing this than succeed at doing anything else.
I remember that.
And it's very deep because it's very true. And you also mentioned something about getting a business plan and a business proposal. That's something that a lot of people fail to do. You have to sit down, and you hit on everything that's so important. You sit down and you talk to your family members that are closer to you. You surround yourself with the people that are like-minded to you. You sit down and you write down what you're going to do, how's it going to work. You have to do that. Because a lot of businesses, when they start, they just fly off the cuff. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I remember a couple of years ago, this lady started this great business, and it was a dollhouse company. Great idea. Wrong market. You know, some of the areas where she was trying to market, not something people could afford. I mean, they were great if she had been in, you know, different neighborhoods, that kind of thing. So you really have to think about your demographics, and you have to think about where and who you're selling to.
Right.
And I really like the fact that you're mentioning that because you have to think it through. The other thing you said that's very deep and I want our listeners to really ponder on is the fact that you said if you have doubts and aren't happy with it, don't do it. And that doesn't mean that you're not scared because you're going to be scared. That's a given. You're going to have that fear of, oh, my goodness, whatever, but you have to be passionate about what you're doing because if you're not, you've already failed because eventually it's going to get to the point where you're not going to want to do it anymore and you might just be at the point that you're reaching the hump to really succeed. So,
yeah.
Tim, now I know you guys have only been doing this for a little bit, but what are some of the things that you do to keep yourself motivated and keep yourself pumped up about going ahead with the business?
Well, my main thing at the time was freedom, to have, you know, to make my own schedule, to be my own boss. And I've had several friends. I have a friend that lives here in Vermont, Erica Martin. She's very good at what she does. Everything she touches turns to gold and turns to business. And I talked to her a few times about, you know, business aspects and such. And, you know, she did say, in the beginning, you are enslaved to the business because you have to work so many hours to get this going. And it's true. It is. But, you know, I'm looking at the long run. When it gets to the point where you can just lay back and watch your business grow because all the hard work and process and the time and the energy you put into it and the sacrifices is paying off because in the end, you can sit back and depending on how well your business is, if you have one or two employees working for you, you can sit back, you know, and just say, wow, look what I did. This is amazing, you know. And then everything is just, you know, I can't say everything's going to be 100% smooth sailing for the rest of, you know, your life in the business. You're going to have a lot of bumps and bruises as you go along. But once you're there, you can relax a little bit and just say, you know what, this is my time. If I want to take a week off, okay, see you later, I'm going.
Right.
That's what my thing was at first. I'm sorry, I just lost the train of thought for the question. I apologize.
No, you hit it perfectly. Now, I'm going to stop you right there for a sec because
sure.
I want to let everybody know that if you're interested in calling, if you have any questions for Tim, any comments, the number is 1-347-989-1473. If you have to pay for the phone call, you can call our toll-free number 1-877-907-7217, or you can join us on Blog Talk Radio /Ordinary Woman. Jump into the chat room and type your question there, and we'll answer it. I'm going to take a little break right here because I'm having technical difficulties. I just lost half of my chat room. So I'm going to play
really?
A song here. Yeah, I did. So I'm just going to play a quick song here that I think is appropriate because we're talking about bakeries, and I just wanted to play it because it's one of the new ones that has come in. The song is called The Coffee Song, and it's by Julie Kinchek, and she's going to be a guest on our show in the coming months, and I hope you enjoy it. So I'm going to play this. I'm going to fool around with my switchboard and get it back up, and we'll be right back. I hope you enjoy this song, Coffee Song by Julie Kinchek. Next month, and I just can't wait to have her on there. So, Tim, we're back. I'm still trying to mess with the switchboard. I think I broke something. Monkman knows anytime I touch the switchboard, it kind of like just breaks on me. So, I apologize. I've lost a few people here. Anyway, so, Tim, you were talking about...
And why are you even touching the switchboard?
What?
Why are you even messing with the switchboard?
Hey, I got bored, okay? Tim, I want to ask you, because I can't believe how fast the time goes when I have these interesting guests. Well, then I can't say that because I've never had a boring guest, so I can't say that, you know, time drags on with them. Tim, what are your plans for the future? What are you guys hoping to do in the next year with the bakery, and what other plans do you have coming up?
Well, within the next year, we are really hoping that we have a well-based, well-founded business where we can, you know, supply baked goods to not just people here in Springfield, but, you know, everyone in the United States. You know, we do a lot of shipping, but we are really hoping that, you know, our business becomes a very well family-oriented, very well-liked business where people can trust, and that, you know, we'll just be able to build a great name for ourselves around here.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said you deliver, so where can people get more information as far as the bakery, taking orders, that kind of stuff?
Well, as of right now, I am looking to open up a website. I don't have one yet, and I know they cost quite a bit, so we're, you know, I'm hoping to have one by next month. But as of right now, anyone that wants to get what we have to offer can find this on Facebook. I have a page and a group. The more popular one is a group. So anyone that wants to look at it can search Springfield Almond Bakery group page, or, like I said, the Springfield Almond Bakery. And you can look at on the list there and see what we have to offer. We also post so many knowledgeable information about all the ingredients that we use, like the agave and the almond and the coconut that we use in our products, and just, you know, tells you what each one can do and how it can help you health-wise.
Cool. So they can find you on Facebook, and you said the Springfield Almond Bakery. They can look that up and get information there, and then you'll be getting, hopefully, a website soon. Any email address that they can email you if they want more information, or is Facebook the best way to get your phone now?
The only email I have, which is my personal one right now, I will think of creating a new one, is anders_timothy@yahoo.com.
Okay. So anders_timothy or Tim?
Yep.
Okay, so they can get a hold of you there as well. Now, I wanted to, because I still got a few minutes left with you, there's another facet to you as a person. What's something else that you do and you're kind of passionate about as well?
I believe you're talking about the acting industry.
Yes, I am. I am talking about the acting.
That is something that I've been wanting to get into for years when I was just a little boy. And when I was growing up, I always went to my parents, Mommy, Daddy, I want to get into acting. And they're like, well, no, you know, it's not going to happen because, you know, that's all Hollywood stuff. You know, this is back in the 80s when they rarely came over to New England area.
Mm-hmm.
I told my parents one day, I said, you know what? I said, I will be in a movie one day. And 20 years later, I got into my very first film, which is a student film. And from there on, I kept going and going and going. And I will have to say, and I want to call out his name, you know him, the one that really encouraged me to pursue it and the one who has been great inspirational to me is Bill McLean.
Yes, Bill McLean, as you guys know, we had him on the show last week. And tell us a little bit about why you felt that he was motivating you and inspiring you to do this.
He has always been very positive. No matter what happens, he always looks on the lighter side of things, and he has taught me so much. He took me under his wing. He shared so much information with me. When I got a role, when I went to audition, I'd share it with him and say, hey, Bill, you know, this is what's going on. What can I do? How would you go about it? How should I go about it? And he would share his knowledge with me and his experience in the past, 20-plus years of his acting career doing this. And he's just, you know, when I look down at myself in a negative way, he's like, no, you got to do it this way. Look at it this way. You're a good actor. You know, you got a lot to offer. And he would boost me back up, and I'd feel really great about it. And he's just, you know, he's a very well-liked, well-mannered man, and I'm just really honored to know him.
Now, what are some of the roles that you've done, and what are some of the things that, let me ask you, what are some of the, one of the most memorable roles that you've had the opportunity to do?
Well, I've been doing it for, this is my fourth year going into it now. And I've done almost 54 different films. Not movies, but filming altogether. And I'd have to say my favorite one I've done, and I'm so happy for it, is Bill McLean's film Red Shirt, where I played this big guy named Tiny. It is such an awesome character. Just I did the teaser film with him just a few months ago last year, and even though I didn't have really any lines in it, just the character itself playing him was just so much fun. And it's just, you know, when he wrote the script, he told me that he wrote it around my personality and wrote the character around my personality and fit me. So, you know, he said, he told me like a year and a half ago, he goes, if we have to have an audition and you come in, I want the guy who's holding the audition to look at you and say, wow, this character fits this guy. This is who I want.
Right.
And I was very pleased with that. Like I said, just being on set with him, he just lightens up the entire set of the film. He's awesome to get around. And I'd have to say that that is probably my most memorable character to play so far.
You know, it's true because Bill is one of these people that I always believe that if you have a positive aura and you're always emitting a positive aura, you attract those type of people to you. And Bill was one of those people that we were on the set of Edge of Darkness, and I don't even know how we wind up talking. And it was just, you know, a month later I got the opportunity to work with him. And it was a small, tiny piece part that I was in, but it was such a cool part because it was totally out of character for me. I'm usually cast as a lawyer or a doctor or a police officer, you know, that kind of series. And my little part with Bill is this TV game show contestant who's a total dizzy Izzy, and it was just such a fun character to play with him. And you're absolutely right with Bill. It's just that he just makes you feel so comfortable and so welcomed. He has this knack for making you feel like you're the most special person in the world, and he is just paying attention just to you and you alone. It's amazing. And you remember when he was making the movie Scooter Magruder.
He was
working with hundreds of people.
He was. I played his personal security guard in that movie.
I love it. So, Tim, where do you see yourself going with your acting career from now on?
When I first started, I really hoped to make it big, like, you know, Tom Cruise and John Travolta, but I don't know if that's really going to happen. I mean, there's a little bit of a, iffy part of it, but I really hope that, you know, I can support my family with it. I don't really care about the fame. I really, at this point, I don't care about the fame. I really want to be able to just do something I love, whether it's the baking, which I want to continue doing, and doing the acting as well. I can, you know, even if I made $60,000 a year for the rest of my life doing acting, I'd be so pleased with it just to support my family with it. That's all I want to do. Just have so much fun just doing it, being around people, meeting awesome people like Bill, and just, you know, just doing what I love.
It's very true because of the fact that people don't realize that character actors if you can find your niche in Hollywood or in, you know, anywhere in New York or whatever, you can really make a living out of it. Because everybody always thinks, like you said, Tom Cruise, big names, making millions and millions. But sometimes you can find your niche and be consistently working in the industry and be able to, like you said, do something that you love.
Right.
Do you have any projects coming up this year that you'd like to share with us?
I do, actually. One of them I think you'll be excited about. One, I got cast as a man named Big Mike, where it's a spoof off of the Christmas Carol called Scrooge in the Hood, and it's being put on by Boston Family.
My gosh, that sounds awesome.
And it is. It's great. It's a lot of fun. It's a small role, which is, you know, it's okay by me because, you know, like Bill told me, because I talked to him about it, and he said every role that's in a movie is as important as the main character. And it's true, because without all the extras and all the other smaller roles, the movie would not be made.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I'm very happy to be playing this guy. And it's just, I play one of the characters that goes up to Mr. Scrooge, and he said, you know, I said, oh, Mr. Scrooge, would your dad do all offer some money to help with the orphans or whatever? And he's like, rah, bah, humbug. So, you know, it's just one of those gentlemen that pushes the ball. So I'm looking forward to doing this with them. It's my first time working with them. My friend, mm-hmm. Saragon Odyssey, I don't know how you pronounce your last name. Forgive me, Saragon, if you're listening. She got me. She helped me get the part. I'm very happy about that. And then
that's
the next
awesome.
One, I just got cast as an extra for Oxytown. So,
yes. Yeah, that's actually, Tim and I are going to be working together on that project. So I'm very excited to finally get to work with you.
Yes, I'm so excited. I can't wait. I'll be on in a few months, but, you know, it's going to be a blast. And I can't wait to see it.
I'm so excited about it. I really think that that's going to be such an exciting project that I can't wait for it to get started. Anything else you're going to be working on this year?
As far as I know, depending on what's going to be happening with Bill, with the funding and such, I don't know if he's going to do any more of his of the filming for his previous films. They do the teasers for, like, The Cloning or Red Shirt. But, I mean, if he does any of those, then I'll be doing that. I have a few films that we started last year that we couldn't finish up that we'll be doing this year, finishing up this year. As far as I know, you know, right now I'm really focusing on the bakery, so I'm kind of taking a break right now from the acting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really pushing hard. If someone says, hey, I know this guy, Commander's put him in, you know, yeah, great, I'll do it. If I see something that I like, I might, you know, send my own stuff in. But at this point in time, I'm just really focusing on, you know, trying to support my family and start this business. And, you know, the acting, unfortunately, as much as I love it,
mm-hmm.
you know, I am aside for now until, you know, until the spring when all the major movies come in and more production comes to Boston and Maine and whatever, then I'm going to...
Mm-hmm. That's excellent. Well, Tim, it was a pleasure having you. I'm so excited. Oh, excuse me. I'm rustling here with the microphone. I'm so grateful that I finally got the opportunity to have you on the show, and we're definitely going to have you back later on so you can keep us posted on bakeries and all these great acting projects. So people out there, if you're interested, Springfield Almond Bakery, you can look them up on Facebook and check out what they have, their ingredients, their products, and you can hit them up, message them, and he will keep you abreast as far as a website and all that stuff so you can taste the yummy products. And if not, you can email me here at ordinarywoman@gmail.com, and I can send you the link and then the information. Tim, thank you so much for being on our show. It was such a pleasure to have you. Any greetings or shout-outs to anybody that might be listening to you?
Yeah, actually, one, I think she's listening. I told her I would. I believe I have her name right. I don't want to get her upset before I even get on the film, but Carrie O'Donnell, she's the one that
mm-hmm.
asked. As Oxytown. I'm really happy that, you know, my friend Brian Farmer told me about it. So she put me in. So thank you very much, Carrie, for listening. You're awesome. I can't wait to meet you. Also,
that's awesome.
I'm hoping my friend Ginger Roberts out in South Carolina, she's been a great friend to me, and she's gone through a lot with her life. She just lost her husband plus four other family members last year. And I've been really...
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been encouraging her through this tough time, and I've just been, you know, I've been there for her, helping her out. And she's just a really dear friend to us. And, I hope you're listening. And Ginger, what's up?
That's awesome. And for our listeners, Carrie O'Donnell is actually going to be on the show at the end of, I think, the month. No, hold on. Next month. She'll be on the show next month with a couple of the cast members from Oxytown.
Cool.
USA, so that'll be something you guys want to turn in. And I love going out to Ginger. I'm glad that you've been such a great friend to Tim, and positive energy your way so that life will be good to you and sending good karma that way. Tim, thank you so much for being on the show. It was a pleasure, and we look forward to having you back. And much love and success with the bakery. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you so much, Charlie. It was a pleasure
All
being
right,
on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, hon. Thanks. Have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow. Mount Mantell, me, wasn't he an amazing person?
He was awesome. He is awesome.
I do. Tim is amazing because of the fact that, like I said, a lot of people would have been so overwhelmed, and to actually come out of it and say, you know what, let's do this, and to be able to forge ahead and have this amazing idea with the bakery and everything. I'm just so happy. So for you guys, if you're interested, Springfield Almond Bakery, look him up on Facebook, befriend him. He needs all the support. Pass out the word if anybody wants to spread the word out about the bakery. Make sure you get the word out there. I have a song I want to play. I do. I really do.
Really?
Our next guest is going to be... Yes, I do. I love this song, and I want to play it because it's so appropriate. We're going to take a little break here before our second guest comes up, the amazing Ahura C. DeLisa. He's going to be on, and he's such a magnificent person. Can't wait for you guys to listen to him. I'm going to play one of his songs because not only is he all these other things, but him and his wife, Sonari, have these amazing voices, and they do their own, they write their own songs, they produce their own music, they record their own songs, they edit them. They do everything. This is a two-person show, and they just do an amazing job. So this song, I really like it. It's called Get Up Off Your Seat by Ahura Z. So I'm going to play this, get you a little pumped up, and we'll be back in a few minutes. I hope you enjoy it. One more song before we get into all the things, because I want you to hear another side of Z that I think would be great, because there's a totally different spin on their music. I have a couple here, but I think I'm going to I love this one. Now, just to remind you, he wrote the music, he composed the song, and they're performing in it, and you have to hear this because it's an amazing song. This is called The Battle Song. And it's by Pisces Project, which is what the combination of him and Sonari together, what their group is called. It's called the Pisces Project, and this is the battle song. And that amazing, amazing song was the battle song.
Wow, that's all I have to say is wow.
Isn't it, I mean, I guess I have heard the song numerous occasions, and every time I hear it, it just stirs my soul to action like you wouldn't believe. Just one of the most amazing songs I've ever heard created. Mottman, I think we have a caller. Try the 386 line, see what we got.
All right, I'll put him on. Hello.
Hello.
How you
Hi,
doing?
This is the Diamond in the Rough Show. Who is this?
Tina from Florida.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of laughed at that Diamond in the Rough thing because that's sort of how I think of myself right now.
I'm telling you, it's so good that you found us and you gave us the call. So why do you consider yourself that right now?
You okay? Oh, I don't know. Spiritually, I'm just, or emotionally, I'm kind of scattered everywhere because I've had a lot going on. So I just feel like I need to take a lot of time out just for myself to take care of myself right now.
It's funny, that's not a bad thing, because that's the part of being a diamond in the rough that I love, because everybody's always thinking of this type A personality, going, and rushing around, but unless you know who you are, and you can recharge your batteries, and you can focus on you for a little bit, you're not going to be able to reach out to others. Is that kind of like how you feel right now that you're going through that?
Yeah, I feel like if I can't take care of myself, I'm no good to, you know, anybody else. If I don't focus on myself, take some time out throughout the day and meditate for maybe 5 or 10 minutes, then I will be no good to, you know, nobody else. So
that's very true. Right, exactly. That is very true. Well, you know, it's we're here for you, and that's what we do, and we're going to send out a lot of positive energy your way. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us?
No. Well, yes, actually, I just wanted to know if I don't know if you guys are doing any readings, if there's any messages for me that pops up.
Honestly, in reality, I have to say that the main message right now is that you need to focus on you. You need
mm-hmm.
to do you.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reality is I have a feeling you've been doing a lot of everybody else for a long time. So it's kind of like you kind of need to do you a little bit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
really,
just to be able to focus on you and get yourself. Because I just feel like maybe the reason you feel so lost is because there's so many things that you've been taking care of everybody else. You haven't had the opportunity to focus on you at all.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, when I was doing that, I thought that, you know, I guess it made me feel good or whatever, and I thought that I was taking care of myself, and I thought that, but it was like little things. It's not even a big thing. It's just like little things, you know, that, you know, relaxing or, you know, taking a warm bath for me, or, you know, not always occupy my thoughts with worries about stuff that I shouldn't even be worried about. So it's just the little simple things, because I am thinking it takes a whole lot, but it doesn't. It just starts from the small things. So, and
it's
actually, right now, I'm unemployed.
Uh-huh.
I'm unemployed right now, and I wanted to know if you see something coming soon for me.
Well, I have an idea. Why don't you hold on, and I will get our psychic on the line so he can answer your question. So if you hold on, Mottman, why don't you put her on hold for a second, and we will get C back up here, and he can maybe talk to her.
Which one?
207. I got it here. I got it. Hello, Diamond in the Rough Show. How are you?
Hello.
Hello. How
Hello.
Are you, Mr. Z? Welcome.
I'm good.
Welcome
how are you, Sally?
I'm doing very good, thank you. I'm doing very good. We're really excited to have you. It's funny, we already have people lining up that they want to ask you questions, and we haven't even started yet.
Oh, that's funny.
It is. For everybody in our chat room, real quick, we're going to do some real quick housekeeping. This is our next guest, is Ahura Zitaliza, and he is a man of many, many coats, many hats. He is a teacher of metaphysics. He's a psychic detective. He's a psychic. He's an actor, producer, singer. We played your battle song, which people absolutely loved.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, we did. We figured that would be the best way to segue into this. So, yes, so why don't we get started real quick. See, tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do? We'll start with the psychic aspect of it. Want to share that with our listeners.
Well, I'm a little different from your average psychic. I'm what you call a telepath. There's a small difference there. A psychic depends upon a person's energy and usually has to be in the presence of the person that they're dealing with or with an event or an object. I, on the other hand, do not have to. I'm not unique. I'm rare. And I've been doing this since I was a child. I mean, I hit the deck this way. In other words, I didn't have an event that happened. I didn't wake up one day and decide that I was psychic or telepathic or anything else. As a matter of fact, I believe that everyone could see. And I just made a decision. I made a decision that I would actually help people and help them develop. We're all psychic, so I just decided that I would help people develop themselves and
right.
do what
so
I
you
can.
Have so when you talk about the ability as a telepath, you're talking about not having to be physically in the room, that means, like, in the instance of a caller we had before you came on where she's on hold and she wants to ask you a question, you would be able to reach out in some way and
talk
to her about it.
Well, certainly. I don't think for people. What I do is I show them the best way to navigate through their lives. Now, in the event of the person that you're talking about, it sounds as though she needs to make a decision to walk away from some people.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, I operate on a common sense basis, which says this: if you want your life to be a certain way, then you have to ask yourself just one question, really. What is it that is stopping you from reaching your goal? And usually, what you'll find is that there's something that you're afraid to let go of that you think you have, or that you think that you're pursuing. You know, when a person says that they're having financial problems, it's one or two things. One, they're unwilling to let go of something so that they can have a better financial future. Or two, they just haven't figured out what it is that they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is what your person is dealing with, if I'm not wrong. This particular person has to change their life severely.
That's awesome. Okay, so on that note, see, I'm going to have Mountain Man bring that 386 line back up so she can talk to Z real quick. Bye.
Hi.
Okay.
How are you? Hello?
Hello, are you there?
I'm here. I'm right here.
Okay, you hold on. Hi, are you there? Our caller? Okay, I think we lost her.
Yep, we did.
We did. Sorry, we lost her. Anyway, so...
That's okay.
All right.
That's all right.
Yeah, so call back. Okay, I'm all confused right now. Hold on real quick. Mountain Man, why don't you hit us up with, well, we know who the 781 call is. Hold on a sec. We'll get to you in a second. So, Z, explain to us a little bit more about what you do and how it works. And I have a question for you from the chat room. I have Infamous Angel wants to know, do you read off people's energy, off their emotions, and when they went through a loss of a friendship, can you read off of that?
Well, I can read anything. When they're talking about a loss of a friendship, that brings up a bunch of emotions. As a matter of fact, emotions are the cloudiest things to actually see. Emotions are the absence of logic. So when this particular person is talking about they lost a friendship, that means that friendship, it wasn't lost, it was severed. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that friendship was decided. There's something that severed it. Okay. Lost means, you know, they just, you know, everybody just decided to not do anything. This was something that was severed. Okay, and if it's severed, then that can be salvaged as long as that person is actually breathing. So they need to get over the emotional thing. So if there's a direct question that they'd like to ask me, I'd be more than happy to answer it.
Okay.
I mean, I don't need anything to read.
Awesome. So for our listeners in the chat room, if you have a question for Z, you can type it up in there and I will get it to them. Also, if anybody's interested in calling in, if you have questions for Ahura Z, the number is 1-347-989-1473. If that is a toll call for you, you can reach us at 1-877-907-7217. So if you have any questions, you can go www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinary woman, and you can reach us in the chat room there as well. So Ahura, you want to give us more of a background. You talk about the fact that this is something you were born with. It wasn't a traumatic experience. How did you go from figuring out that you were psychic, and how did you figure out what you needed to do with it?
Well, like I said, I thought everyone could see. And little by little, what happens is you find out that not everyone can see. So it came down to figuring out a way to keep myself grounded and at the same time operate seeing what it is that I do see. So I didn't have memory losses. I didn't have moments and times where I just sat in a corner rocking back and forth saying that there's so much pain, because there wasn't so much pain, not at least psychically. Physically was something else because I went through a very stormy childhood. But I made a decision that I was going to use whatever ability that I had or whatever energy that I had to educate myself, and not just educate myself conventionally, but educate myself in the way of developing my talent. For instance, there's nothing that I cannot do, and I know that people find that very hard to believe, but it's the truth. As a matter of fact, if I spoke to someone over a period of time about what it is that they do, I can do what they do. Now, what I decided was I was going to learn as much as I can so that these particular energies did not overtake me. So I focused them all in whatever art form I could find. There's nothing of an artistic nature that I cannot do.
And I can vouch for that, because I have seen that in action, as you guys heard by the amazing song that we heard just a few minutes ago. That's a product of what he's talking about.
You know, so I focused on music, I focused on art, I focused in the areas of martial arts, and I wanted to be someone that would grow up to help. Truthfully speaking, if you really want to, as a child, I wanted to be a superhero. But, you know, you grow up, you grow up and you decide, well, you know, I'll just settle for hero, that's fine, you know.
Right.
And that's what I use my vision to help people. In other words, you're speaking to Professor X. I can help other people develop themselves. Basically,
right.
Because I know what to do with each person. No two people are alike.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to train people, which is what I do, and it's what I do for a living, it is my day job. I train people to develop their talents. I train people to decide what it is that they want to do with their lives. In other words, I train people to keep a promise to themselves. If you come to me and you say you want to be good at something, I'm going to hold you to your promise. You're going to be good, but not just kind of good. You're going to be very, very good, so long as you are willing to finish what it is that you've started. Now, there are a lot of people out there that claim to be telepathic and a lot of people that claim to be psychic. I'm not going to second guess them at all. But what I am going to say is that when you claim to be psychic and claim to be telepathic, but there's no food on your table, then you're really kidding yourself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to have a dozen types of medication or have alcohol or drugs to use whatever talent that you think that you have, you're seriously deluding yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do is I keep people's feet on the ground. Now, I teach everything from cooking, cooking and sewing to playing instruments to learning how to keep a job, how to manage certain things. I teach everything from that to making movies and films.
Now, how did you wind up with your school. Tell our listeners about the school that you run and how did you wind up doing that?
Well, the school that I run is Unicorn Cove School of Metaphysics. And years ago, I was just at the end of my rope. I mean, I could keep a job. I did learn how to do that. And as a very young man, it was very difficult for me to do that because of what I saw. You know, and I had a habit of voicing things that I saw, or when people told me one thing, I'd hear another. And I would voice what it is that I heard. Well, that doesn't go over very well with your bosses, okay? So I had a very powerful teacher teach me to focus myself and to basically keep my mouth shut and learn how to keep a job. Well, it was impossible for me to keep a job for more than 2 weeks. I mean, it was just impossible.
Right.
That, along with other things, my talent and plus my anger at growing up where I grew up, which was in Los Angeles, it was very, very difficult. So once I learned to keep a job for a year, I congratulated myself, and then I learned to keep that job for 2 years, and then 3 years, and then 4 years, and then finally, one day, I decided that I was going to open a shop that would help people. So I opened a little metaphysical retail shop, because it's what I do best.
Right.
And little by little, you know, I was already doing readings for people and had been for a long time, you know, just... people would come in and I would see what they were going through, and based upon the training that I earned from my teacher, who no longer walks the earth except for in me, you know, I helped people that way. So I opened my shop, and I decided I wanted to do more. It wasn't enough just to sell people things and to talk to them once in a while. People came from all over just for counseling, for me to help them out. And, you know, the truth is that my operation was very humble, and it still is. I decided that I would establish the first school of metaphysics in Maine. So I did. And it's not one of those things where I said, okay, I've really, really got to think about this. No, I figured if not me, who?
Exactly. Now, just to tell you, the thought of a metaphysics school in Maine, I mean, you know, because anybody thinks Maine, they think rural, spread out, whatever, even though it's a misconception because there's a lot of big cities. How was it difficult for you to get the school going and to get the word out at the beginning?
Oh, my goodness. Difficult. It's still difficult. I mean, I have not had an easy ride. When I first started, of course, everyone called me every name possible. I had to be the evil witch doctor. I had to be the evil cult leader. I had to be the evil this and the evil that. And I said, what, can I just be a good one or something? You know, just can I just be a good guy? I mean, I genuinely do like helping people. And I understand in this day and age it's very difficult for anybody to believe such a thing. But, you know, you've got to hold on to some form of belief. I mean, as far as conventional religion, great, great. You know, I don't go and bother people on their religion. Their religion is their religion. However, I grew up learning about Jesus, and I don't say believing in Jesus, I said learning about Jesus, because I knew that he existed, and I also know that God exists, but I also know that the goddess exists. Now, and the way that I learned is that men and women are equal mentally, physically, and spiritually. So I decided that I would take a spiritual path because that was the best way for me to do it. And when I opened my school, there were those that flocked to me because they knew somehow that I could help them. But then there were others that would come by to me and start quoting the Bible. You know, well, there's one thing that I do know is the Bible, because my grandmother was Irish. And when I say Irish, I mean Irish. You know, so she made sure. And they would come up with these quotations from the Bible that I had never read. You know, and I just looked at them and I'd say, okay, well, that's great. You know, but Jesus has always been my role model and always will be. And if people want to call me a pagan, that's fine. If they want to call me a Wiccan, that's fine. If they want to call me anything that they choose, that is fine. I know myself.
Right.
So as far as here in Maine, there are people that are very, very open, and there are people that are very, very closed. And, you know, I deal with them each with equality. And I say this, there's no reason to step on another's toes. There's enough meat in the kitchen for everyone. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the difficulty really doesn't matter. I mean, the good times don't matter either once they're gone.
Right.
I do the best that I possibly can, and I teach people to do the best that they possibly can. Now, I do readings from, I have clients all over the world. I have students all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, at first I did things by donation basis, but, you know, economically speaking, that's just not very, very smart. But, you know, I do nothing better than serve the universe, so I just figured I would at least make it so that people can, you know, not have to worry about money for learning.
Right.
But I found something in people. If they do have an exchange, which is a universal principle that for everything that is given, something must be given in return,
right,
then people value it more. So I tell them, okay, there's a certain thing for me to teach you, but these are my requirements. One, unless they're prescribed by a doctor, absolutely no drugs. Two,
right,
I do not drink. Maybe once in a while at a celebration I'll have something, but I am not to find my students drunk and you stay out of trouble. Those are my only
mm-hmm.
three things.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, you finish what you start. So right now, Unicorn Cove is still in business, and I'm hanging in there. It's been 10 years now since
mm-hmm.
My school has been open. And I'm very, very proud of myself and those people that are with me for hanging
mm-hmm.
on. You know, being a telepath, it doesn't always make me the most pleasant person, but I'm always a good person to be around.
Right. Hold that thought right there. Mugman, do we have a call? The 978-677 line. If you can click us through.
Yeah, I'll put them on.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, welcome to the Diamond on the Rough Show.
Thank you. I love listening to the show. It's really inspiring.
Well, thank you very much. And who is this?
It's... Laura.
Hi, Laura. How are you? Now, I have to ask you, I know you had a couple of comments in the chat room for Ahura. Why don't you ask him personally and see if he can help you out?
Huh?
You had a couple of comments for our guest. Why don't you ask him personally and see what he can tell you?
Okay. Let's see. What's the best way to say it? I just wanted to ask, what's the best way to deal with any type of any situation that you go through, because I just went through something last night and it's kind of out of the ordinary. It's kind of hard to like.
Okay, well, tell me what you went through.
Well, I had an old friend that messaged me out of nowhere, and she asked me like a couple things, like, you're not gonna talk to me, and you know, like, you know, this is on you, this type of thing. And, like, I told her how I felt, and I had my reasons for
mm-hmm.
acting the way. So I just felt like I had to go a different path and get away from the situation.
Well, I think that you did the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but you have to stand by your conviction. You can't just be wishy-washy. Do you understand?
Yeah.
If you don't feel the need to speak to that person, then my suggestion is for you to just leave it. Like I said, this is a friendship that got severed, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what you have to do is, if you want to keep it severed and you just want to be civil and walk the other way, then you have the right to do so.
Mm-hmm.
But before you do that, I want you to look inside yourself and see if you actually do have that kind of a reason, if you really do have it, or are you just reacting emotionally? Do you understand?
Yeah, because I just been struggling with things emotionally, and it's kind of difficult, so.
Well, then maybe you just need some time away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. I mean, there are no strings on you. I mean, you have the right to walk the other direction.
Yeah.
And, you know, if that person really does want to be your friend, because they like to say things, people like to say things to each other such as, well, you know, it's on you, and this
mm-hmm.
and that and the other. But the truth is, you have the right to do anything you choose. You have free will, and that means that you can walk the other way if you choose. And if that person really does think anything of you, they will respect that fact.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean,
what's the other thing?
I just feel like there's like a second opportunity to make things right. I mean, like, I feel like she's trying to, she kind of wants me back in her life as a friend.
Okay.
Yeah, and like we've been.
And how about you? Do you want her back in your life?
it's up and down.
Sounds like to me that you're responding to guilt.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't let guilt decide for you.
Yeah.
And if guilt is your deciding factor, here's my suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
Walk away.
Yeah.
Okay? Until there's no more emotion or guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, logic is the best way to think about things. You have to
yeah.
take both sides of a story and bring it up the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you respond emotionally, remember, emotions are tricks. You know, emotions are always built and based upon something that someone else did, said, or gave to you or didn't give to you.
Yeah.
Your feelings are something entirely different. Do you understand? If they come from the inside of you, which has nothing to do with that person, then you base your judgment on that.
Mm-hmm.
When's your birthday here?
April 18th.
18th? Yeah, well, you're usually pretty fair. I think that you get hurt extremely easily.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that you want to believe yourself to be very independent, but the truth is you can be alone, but you don't like being lonely.
Yeah.
Okay? And we've already learned some lessons about karma, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my suggestion for you is to just find yourself first. You're too busy getting involved in other people's problems.
Yeah.
Okay, just step back for a little bit. See if you can hear your own voice.
Yeah.
Stop being so afraid of everything. You're
yeah.
frightened of everything.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah,
you're just frightened. You got to not be frightened. You have the vibration of the universalist, which means that you probably have the opportunity to do a few things, but you never make your decisions. It's like you think of something, you have all these ideas, but you never do anything. It's because you're afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So just back up a little bit. Find yourself. And don't let this person run guilt trips on you. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there something else at all?
I also just recently, I got let go of a job. So, like, I'm trying to see what else is out there that I can do, you know, and just get myself going. Because I'm trying to keep...
Well, go pick something.
Yeah.
You haven't picked anything.
I mean, all my spare time, I write, but, I kind of feel like writing's not, it's not going to, like, I just write on my spare time. That's, you know, like, I do
mm-hmm.
poetry and stuff, so.
No, that's
really
not what I'm talking about there. I mean, you got to pick a job. If you know that
yeah.
you need money, you got to pick a job.
Yeah.
Okay. Writing is great, and I believe that you have the talent for it. Okay. But you got to find something that's going to keep you grounded. You're too floaty.
Yeah.
Okay?
I mean, like...
And relax a little bit, huh? Just relax.
I want to get into, like, because I'm into computers and stuff and that type of thing, and I want to do something further with that. Like, I see how people struggle with, like, computers and stuff, and they don't know how to use them. They think it's really complicated and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I work with different... computer programs because I'm in school, so like I've done like stuff with Microsoft Office and Access and all that stuff. So
okay, well, you know, you need to stay in school then. Get in school,
yeah.
See if you can even get a degree in computer, mm-hmm. whatever they call computer jobs these days,
yeah.
you know, software programming and things like that. You know, I do think that you have the talent for writing, but I think that we need to get you grounded. So you need to pick something, pick a job. Okay?
Yeah.
And then later on, you can think about a career. You have a lot of time.
Yeah. I just feel
okay.
like...
Right.
I just feel like it's kind of being rushed, and I'm not having enough time to find my way through it and just let it take its... You know, let it come to me when it does, you know, because I know,
mm-hmm.
like, things don't happen right away with how the economy is now. Yeah.
They don't happen right away.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there are a lot of people making a lot of mistakes based upon the economy. Listen, you're young. Take your time. Just find something that's going to, you know, maintain you, like a job, something that will keep you grounded. Think about all the career stuff later, okay?
Yeah.
And you have plenty of time.
Okay, awesome.
All right.
Well, thank you for calling, and I hope that helped a lot. Now, Ahura, I have to ask
yeah.
you, because it's funny, because I actually know the caller, you were just talking to, and I had to cover the mic to keep from laughing because you were dead on point. I mean, and just everything you mentioned about relaxing and, you know, keeping grounded and all that kind of stuff. So when you're talking to somebody that you haven't met, how does it work for the average person that's out there listening going, yeah, whatever, I don't, you know, understand what you're doing.
Well,
how does it work for you?
Well, how it works for me is I look at that person. There's a lot that you can hear from them. There's also just the energy trail. Now, if you're talking technically, listen, we are all one to a degree. We all live on this earth. And this earth has what is called an etheric field. And we are all living within that etheric field. Now, the etheric field connects us all, no matter what. Okay? There are many people that will say, well, you know, I don't believe in this, or I don't like this, or, you know, I'm pretty skeptical about this, and, you know, I don't waste my time with those people. The truth is we are all one, and no matter what anyone says. And because of that, I'm merely looking at that person from where they are. Now, it's kind of complicated to explain exactly how it works. I can only say that I know what to say to that person at that particular moment. Now, if the person comes up like a lot of people like to, I remember doing a reading for this person, and he wanted to speak to his friend who had died, and his friend wanted to speak to him as well, and I told him these things, and there's no way for me to know these things. I don't read minds or anything like that, because I think the mind is a person's last place of sanctity, so I don't invade people's heads. And I did everything, and by the end of his tearful reunion with his friend, we got a way for him to make peace with his friend, because they did not, and there were some things that were taken, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I did all this wonderful thing for this friend, for him, and then at the end of it, he decided he wanted to test me, you know, because, you know, there's always these skeptics that like to say things like, you know, can you guess what's in this little envelope, you know, and I'll give you $1 million, you know, crap that, you know, like I'm actually going to play that particular game. So, you know what I did is I said, are you serious? You want? He says, one more thing. I said, yes. He said, can you guess what's in my pocket? I said, your hand. And after that, I told him, beyond that, if it's not a check for $1 million, I'm not interested.
Wow.
You know, so there are a lot of people that like to do things like that. They like to challenge me. But see, a person who is not psychic or a person who is not telepathic really has no right to test someone who is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, if you're blind, you can't argue with someone over the color blue, can you?
Right, right.
And, I look at it that way. So when I talk to a person, I'm operating from a place that I honestly want to help them. And I seem to have been given this gift that I can reach out and help them. And I have a solution. In other words, my aim is to be a living solution. Wow. If a person has a problem, I will give them the solution. If they have something that will benefit them, I will get them there. I don't make any funny platitudes. You know me, I'm kind of like a farmer. I shoot straight from the hip. You know? If there's something that needs to be said, I will say it. If it doesn't need to be said, then there's no reason for me to say it. Like when a person comes and asks me, can you tell me who my soulmate is? And I look at them straight and I say, no.
That has got to be the most overused phrase in the universe.
Oh, it definitely is. I mean, and you know, if a person walks in with their soulmate in tow, and they ask me, you know, I've been asked by couples, and that, you know, they'll sit in front of me because they really want to know, and I understand, you know. They'll sit in front of me and they'll say, is he my soulmate? And I say, well, what a question to ask right in front of this person, you know.
Kind of late now, right, if they're a couple.
Yeah, you know, and I say, look, if you have to ask me, the answer is no.
That's funny.
I mean, the bottom line is this. What was that?
Yeah, hold on a quick sec. I want, for our listeners, if you want to call in and you have any questions for her, Zivaliza, the number is 1-347-989-1473. That's a toll call for you. You can reach us toll free, 1-877-907-7217. Don't be shy. If you have a question, about anything, you can have our man here or her listen to you and talk it out. So, Z, you were saying that, and I have to ask you this because it's for me too, it's been something that it's a challenge because I come
from
two different worlds. I come from the world of logic and from the world where things can't be explained that I have seen with my own eyes. So,
yes, we know this.
You do. One of the things that I have gotten a grasp of is the fact that, okay, there are people that are musically gifted, there are people that can write, there are people that are athletic, have athletic abilities, all these great abilities that they have an amazing singing voice. Why do you think it's so hard for people to believe that being a telepath or psychic or an intuit or whatever you want to call it can't be considered a gift as well, can't be considered in that spectrum of talents?
It would be far too simple to just call it jealousy. It's more like fear. Okay? That means that there are people that can do things that are far beyond the realm of control. And most people like to say that they really believe in God and that they really believe in the things that Jesus and Buddha and Krishna could do. But the truth is they do not. Okay? That would be frightening to think of such things existing. Absolutely frightening. So when someone comes up that is intuitive, which would obviously be a shard of one of those great beings and gifted by God himself, the first thing that they will do is they will go to, oh, it must be evil, okay? Because it's hard to accept that God could actually exist. It's hard to accept that a goddess could actually exist. It is hard to accept that there are people who are gifted beyond what a standard is, which is why there's always been this giant rift between people of a metaphysical or mystical nature and scientists, which I find quite absurd, actually, because science and mysticism are part of the same family. You know, if you think about it just for a second, there's Jesus, right, who is the greatest mystic ever, okay, and we know this. There are other people like Ahura Mazda. There are people, there's Muhammad. There's Buddha, both Buddhas. There's even people recently that did great and wonderful things that could only be done by somebody who had a mystical point, like Gandhi, or Martin Luther King, Mother Teresa, all of these wonderful people that had some gift. Well, there is absolutely no difference between those people and a telepath.
Right.
But people truly get weirded out when you look at them and you say, look, if you don't start treating yourself better right now, you're going to hurt yourself.
You know, it's funny that you say that in an interesting point of view because, like you mentioned, Mother Teresa and Martin Luther King and all these great people, that they just had, quote-unquote, a knack to know how to do the right thing at the right time. Yet we don't have a problem recognizing that, okay, this man knew that it was the right time to resist with the buses and he jumped on that and then the peaceful demonstrations and all that, it was the right time. And then you have Mother Teresa who, you know, knew how to do all of this and all these other great leaders that you talk about. But if you actually were to vocalize the fact that, well, they must have had some psychic ability or some intuition to go along with it, all of a sudden it's like,
it becomes evil.
You know what I mean?
Well, I look at it this way, though, Charlie. Go ahead there. I'm sorry.
No, you said I wanted you to explain to me how you looked at it.
I looked at it like this. Based upon the stories that I read, and whether these stories are true or false or irrelevant, they mean something to me. In the end, Jesus was called devil, he was called witch, he was called evil, he was stoned, he was spat upon, he was cursed in every single way imaginable for his gift.
Right.
And in that way, if I have those kinds of gifts, then I must be more like Jesus than I think. So the moment that someone calls me evil, I compare myself to Jesus. And I say, well, you know, I don't know why I would expect not to be called evil. They called him evil.
Right.
You know, or I don't know why I would expect to be looked upon, would expect not to be looked upon like I was someone strange. Look at all of the great beings whose shoulders I'm standing upon. Now, that goes through all time. Now, there are a lot of people who are Wiccans and pagans and mystics of different types. And we can all agree on this. We all know that there is something more than the convention.
Right.
We all know that, no matter what. We all know that. And in that way, we can all come into accord. So even on a religious basis, everyone knows that there's more than exists here.
Right.
And even the scientists know. You know, so those people that call themselves skeptics, there are no such thing. You know, if you were really a skeptic, you wouldn't be so loud and protesting something that you say doesn't exist.
You know, that's a very good point, because one of the things that hit me when you said you're more like Jesus than you think, and I'm thinking of the old school, like my grandmother would be like, how dare you compare yourself to Jesus, which I find ironic because that's what the Bible tells us, that Jesus was our example and we're striving to be like Jesus, yet old school mentality is, if you even dare vocalize it, it was like sacrilege. But one of the things that gets me about what you're saying is the fact that I notice that anytime something good is happening, people just want to complain about it and protest it, and it brings more attention to it than, you know, than supposedly if it was something evil. I mean, perfect example, Gandhi, look what happened to him. Martin Luther King, Mother Teresa, all these people that it wasn't, well, they either got killed or it wasn't until later in life, like Mother Teresa, where people turned around and said, okay, maybe it wasn't such a bad thing she was doing. And maybe she was on to something kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So it's a very good point that whenever, and I know because I see it with some people that I know, that every time someone that I know is trying to do something good, there's always what in the Spanish culture are called the cinco gatos, the five cats, that have nothing better to do than to hang on that alleyway, hang on the fence, and complain and make noise. They don't do anything. But they complain and they try to bring that person down. And it's such a great point that you're bringing to it, that any time that there's something good going on, there's that opposing energy. And why do you think that is? Why do you think that's so prevalent, especially in our society nowadays?
Well, because no one wants anyone else to get ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's truthfully what I think. I believe everyone wants to have a positive life. But when someone else gets a positive life, they look and say, well, I'm being positive. Why don't I get these things? So what they do is to say, well, it must be something other than what it is that I'm doing. It must be something other than positive because I didn't get it. But the truth is that, listen, if you broadcast negativity, you're going to get negativity.
Okay. Right.
If you broadcast positivity, you will get positivity. Now, I'll break something down for you and your listeners. You ever notice something about water when you go swimming?
Mm-hmm.
When you go swimming for a long time, you get out, your hands are kind of shriveled out because, you know, you look like you've been dehydrated because the water kind of leaves your body. Well, water has this remarkable quality of seeking other water, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, that water that's in your body will seek to be a part of the greater water. So it leaves you. You can't really contain water for long. It will find a way out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's say the negativity and positivity are much the same way. The positivity that is on the inside of you will seek the greater positivity, therefore broadcast itself.
Uh-huh.
Just like the negativity that is on the inside of you will seek the greater negativity. Do you understand?
Right.
So that negativity or that positivity that you are broadcasting will find its way to become a part of your life.
You know, that's funny you said that, because earlier we were talking to Tim Anders, and one of the things we talked about was the fact that he was able to take a really bad situation and turn it positive. But one of the comments that I made was that since I had made a conscious effort to be positive and to be happy for what people were doing, whether it affected me or not, that I noticed that I kept attracting these really awesome, positive people to me, that those were the kind of people that I gravitated to or gravitated to me. Even on the internet, I mean, a lot of great people, including yourself, that's how I met, you know, online, through a chat room or, you know, a website or whatever. So it's so true what you're saying about the gravitating of energy and the fact that what goes out comes in. Whether we send out positive, positive will come back. We send out negative, negative will come back. And honestly, it just, it floors me to be able to see it in action. And I cannot believe the time has gone by. Ahura, I so going to have a show just for you. I swear, for our listeners, I've been after him forever, and we just haven't been able to get through it. But what I wanted to do is actually have a segment just for Ahura, because it's just like I know people want to call in and get advice and all this. So maybe your listeners can send us a bunch of emails and talk them into it and have them actually do it. So, Ahura, I'm going to definitely have you back. I didn't even get a chance to talk to you about your amazing music projects. What do you have coming up this year that you can share with our listeners?
Well, I have one film that is coming up, and that's Little Goddesses, and I just finished editing it. You know, and once I have the actual DVD in my little paws, I'll actually start advertising for it, and it's really cute. It's more like a little pilot so that I can get a internet TV series going. And I'm working on Falcare, as you know, and I've had to put that on a back burner for now. But it is definitely my first epic that's coming up. We'll be releasing another album later this year, my wife and myself. We're Pisces Project. That's my wife's voice that everyone loves in Battle Song.
Yes.
And, you know, we have some other things planned. We're going to be releasing our internet TV station, one of which we hope to get Mrs. Alejandro on. You know, so we have some great plans this year. We just have to take things one step at a time. I'm running the school. I have people that have been calling in from all over the world. I just got two students from the UK.
Awesome.
You know, and
awesome.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool. I've got several people from all over the states that everyone seems to be really interested in psychic police work, which is what I do. I police the psychic world. That's not to be confused with what Charlie used to do. Charlie is the conventional police.
Oh, no psychic involved in there. You see the knucklehead doing something stupid and you lock his butt up quick.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
Even
no
the police have to have a certain intuition now.
Yeah.
So, but that's what we have coming up, and hopefully, I'm sorry.
Where can people get you? Where can people get you? Website, location, more information?
You can talk to me at www.asktheunicorn.com, or you can talk to me at Unicorn Cove School of Metaphysics. That would be www.unicorn-cove.com. And you can talk to Charlie. We consider Charlie a family member, so I'm sure that at some point...
I got adopted. I am so grateful. I consider her my big brother, and it's funny because we have so much in common, it's kind of scary. My husband looks at him like, are you sure you two really aren't related?
How is he doing, by the way?
He's doing very well. He's doing very well. And I'm hoping to get out to Maine soon because I've been running around in Philly, so I have to visit my family in Maine. I need a Sonari and a Ahura Z fix because I'm like really kind of jonesing over here for you guys.
Yeah, and you know Kazi's mad at you.
I know. Hey, I think there's a third person in here real quick. You want to say hey?
Hi.
Hi.
There she is.
That's
got to
be
Shelly. So
yes, yes. I know I don't want to keep it the time, but I just want to know you are my superhero. I just want to say that because man here, I just want to say he was the first person to truly believe in my dream. He's made me so much more positive. I there's too many words to say what I want to say in such a short time, but he's an amazing big brother. And teacher, I mean, so much. I wish I could just go on and on, but I know it's short time. But I just wanted to call him to, you know, show my support because he's done a lot for me personally. And I don't know if I'll ever be, you know, ever to repay him back because he was the first person where everybody else just seemed to, like, not believe in my dream of, like, wanting to work with Jackie Chan. And he was the first person who says, you know, that believed it. That didn't ever doubt it. He actually keeps me positive and getting to work with him, training Tai Chi, and I'll be there tomorrow morning.
Good.
Awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much for being on this show. Ahura, I'm definitely going to hit you up this week because I definitely want to do a whole segment just with you so we can cover the whole thing because
sure.
there's no way I can get all of your life in 1 hour. I'm going to, and I want to, for our listeners who have been asking, yes, I'm going to get him back ASAP so that
Certainly.
You guys can pick his brain even more. Thank you so much for coming, and I love to everybody out there. Shelby, you too. It was nice to listening to you guys as well. And like I said, I cannot believe the time has flown by. For our listeners in the chat room, thank you so much to everybody for joining us. Andy, as usual, Betty, Bob, Deidre, our new lady in the building, Gary, yes, 28318. Thank you so much for joining us. Infamous Angel, Johnson, as usual, Martha, Mary, Robert, Starlight, and Weston. Thank you, guys. And I'm going to send us off tonight with one of these songs, I Am by Pisces Project. I love that song. It's so cool. And to everybody out there, remember, do not let anybody ever steal your dreams away, and nothing is impossible to the willing heart. So this is Ordinary Woman and Mountain Man. Are you in there?
Mountain Man's here.
Mountain Man's
here.
Yeah. So, guys, remember, next Thursday, 7 p.m., join us. We will be here again with two amazing guests. And as soon as I have the information on the Ahura Z Hour, I will get it out there and let you guys know about it. It was awesome.
Okay.
So, here, yeah, right. for your pleasure,
right.
I Am
okay.
by Pisces Project. Good night, everybody.
Night, Charlie.
That lives deep inside me, and in the nature of those who've made all things, I am. From sunlight I will create and in my mind.